Our thoughts this morning are entitled, The Easy Yoke. And our theme text on this is found in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, where we read, Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So this is where this concept of the yoke, one of the places where it's illustrated in Scripture. Now, a number of years ago, I think it was probably 10 or 15 years ago, Brother Paul Malley gave a talk on crosses. And so the question we might have was, well, what's the difference between a yoke and a cross? And as Bible students, that's a great question to ask, right? We want to know what the difference is because there are pictures in the Bible for each. And so what we would normally do is we would go to the Scriptures and let them do the explaining. And so that's what we're really going to do during the next 40 minutes or so, is we're going to look at yokes, and we're also going to compare them a little bit with crosses, so that by the time we get done, we should have a clear distinction according to the Scriptures as to what the differences are. Now, when we look at biblical yokes, there are a number. The first one that's mentioned is the yoke of the law, and other places it's referred to as the yoke of bondage. And this has to do with religion. And, of course, it's being under the yoke of the law, which, what, no man could perfectly fulfill. And so it was a perfect standard that imperfect man could not fulfill. But they were under that yoke or burden. Another yoke found commonly in the Bible is the yoke of transgression, which really describes the condition of mankind in sin and in death. We find the yoke of Babylon also mentioned in Scripture. And this is a yoke, of course, we don't want to get associated with because Babylon, by its very definition, means confusion and ignorance. Next, we have the yoke of Egypt. And really, this represents, remember in Scripture, when we see Egypt, it really represents the world and the condition that they're in, which is basically lost and drifting. And not seeing where God's plan is going. So much like Babylon, it's also a yoke of ignorance and really hopelessness. There's also a yoke of youth described in Scripture. And this is described as a good thing. It's when youth get through with their wild oats and their unbounded energy and they start to focus and take on responsibilities. So this is seen and pictured in Scripture as a positive yoke. Then there's the yoke of marriage. And this also is a good yoke. This is the basis of family. It's the basis of really order and structure and civilization. And when we look at the promulgation of the truth, this is one of those yokes that has been used to help pass the truth through families. And finally, we look at the yoke of Christ. And this goes beyond a natural family to be part of a family of God. And so, if we could say that some of these were good, this one would be very good. Now, an important concept to understand is that with regards to yokes, we choose our yokes. Let me repeat that. We individually choose our yokes. This is illustrated in Scripture. And so, when you see these things, you say, well, marriage, that is a choice, right? That's a choice that we make to do or not to do. Coming into the body of Christ, that's a choice. Taking on responsibilities, that's a choice. And when we look at things like putting ourselves under the bondage of the law, we could choose that as well. And we realize that the Apostle Paul warned against this. He said, don't put yourself under that bondage because you can't possibly fulfill it. And so it's important to note that we choose our yokes. So as the saying goes, choose wisely. Now when we look at crosses, in contrast, in Matthew 16:24 we read, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So this is a following or an emulating. This also is voluntary. In 1 Corinthians 15:31, it says, I die daily, which is really showing that we're daily sacrificing our all on the cross. And finally, in Psalm 50:5, and we're reading this according to New International, because I like the way it words it. Gather to me my consecrated ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And this really describes, once again, a voluntary choice to take up his cross and follow him. And so we see that there are many similarities there as well. So what's the same? Well, the yoke, the spiritual yoke and the cross are spiritually oriented. They both involved a called out class. They both involve an invitation. And by its very nature, if I give you an invitation, you can choose to accept it or not to accept it. So it involves free moral agency or free will, a willing decision. It's a daily decision. Remember, it said, take up my cross, what? Daily. I die daily. It requires commitment. Both of them have common goals, and both of them are lifelong. So what's the difference between crosses and yokes? Well, the cross is an individual matter. The yoke, by its very nature, when you see a yoke, this is a sample of a yoke, what do you notice? It's two. It's shared. And that's really the nature of our theme text, isn't it? My yoke is easy. The burden is light. It's something that's shared with others. Both of them involve, well, the cross involves personal decision, and yokes involved shared direction. So we have a little distinction here. If you're yoked, you can't go wherever you want. You're yoked with what? Our Lord, in which case you go in the same direction. So there's really a common work to do, and if we went in different directions, the work wouldn't get done. The cross is for proving, and the yoke is for fruitage. The cross, if you saw someone taking a cross in Jesus' day, they were going to their death. If you saw someone taking a yoke, and yes, they did yoke people at times, they were going to work. So whether it was a person or an animal, when you saw a yoke, you knew that work was to be done. That was the purpose of the yoke. Whereas the purpose of the cross, someone's going to their death. So we see here really that illustrated in the cross is a covenant by sacrifice, even unto death. And the yoke really demonstrates works. So we're going to delve into this a little more. Why yokes and crosses? James gives us this in James 2:22, and this is the New American Standard Version. He very clearly states why these two are interrelated. And by the way, they're both necessary for this, for the spiritual son or daughter of God. As a result of works, faith was perfected. You remember, James, there was this big contest about what proves you. Is it works or is it faith? And the answer is yes, it's both. And remember, he gave you that argument. He said, you can't have faith without works. Well, you could have works without faith, but they would be for naught. And so we see here they're intimately tied together. And so it says, as a result of works, actions, deeds, things that we do, our faith is perfected. Our sacrifice is acceptable. And so what we see in the combination really is the character of Christ, because he did both and he gave us both illustrations. And by its very nature, this James 2:22 gives us a formula, which is the formula for an acceptable sacrifice. It requires both. You can't just say, I have great faith, but I never do anything with it. If you have faith, works will follow. Works will be a result. But this is a dual situation. Both of these must be present. Let's look at some aspects of the yoke. And once again, we're looking back at Matthew 11. This time we're going to read 26 through 28, according to New International. The Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Now you know where the opening song part of that came from. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. And so right here we have really 6 points that we're going to look at in a little bit more detail that show us the different aspects of yokes and how they really work. And so we're going to look at 6 keywords. The first one, reveal. It shows that yokes are carried by those who are called. So when we look at yokes, this is specifically talking about the called out class. Secondly, it is a choice. It says, take my yoke. Now, if I say take something to you, you have a choice. It's just like an invitation, right? So he has a choice, yes or no. Third, we're told that we will have a yoke, and we've already started to look at that. It says, you know, there's going to be some works that need to be done, some opportunities. But we're told that those will be easy, but in order to have them fulfilled, in order for this to work, in order for this to edify and build and strengthen you and perfect you, you have to do 2 things. You have to humble yourself and you have to learn. Now, if you don't follow this formula, you will not be successful. And so with regards to yoke, the formula for success is given right here in these 3 scriptures. So let's delve a little more into yokes in these different aspects. First of all, you have to be called. In Matthew 11:27 it says, no one knows except those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So it's a called out class. Those are the only ones that are really going to understand this in its fullness. They're going to understand enough to make it to the next level, as it were. In 1 Peter 2:9 we read, he should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness, where? Into his marvelous light. So it's saying that to those that accept this, those that are called out, they're going to be enlightened. That's really what we're talking about when we say marvelous life. You will be enlightened, and as a result, you'll be enlivened. This is an incredible offer. If you think about it, this is a limited time offer, never to be offered again. It's an opportunity. That's why we have another scripture that says, why tarriest thou? If you've been called and you've heard this, now you can make a choice one way or another. But this is an incredible offer, showing the call. The next aspect is the choice. And in Proverbs 23:26 we read, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Give me thine heart. You know, well, some of us have some material means. Some of us more to one extent or another. Some of us are highly educated, some of us not. Some of us are, you know, in profession, some of us are retired, some of us are unemployed. What can we give the Lord? There's a common denominator here, and here's the good news. God doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your building. He doesn't want your intellect. He wants your heart. And this is what is required. When you accept, yes, it's an intellectual thing, but He wants you to give your heart. He wants you to give your heart affections and your focus to this call. And if you don't, you won't succeed. So this is a choice. Next, we look at the yoke. This is actually a yoke. Remember I said sometimes that humans were yoked. We don't see this too commonly in our day, at least not in this country. But here's a picture of people that are yoked together. They're going to do a work. And it shows that they're really not free to go their own way once they're yoked. In Psalm 86:4 we read, rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee... And then it continues. Now, how can you rejoice when you are yoked? We're talking about hard labor here. And yet, because you've given your heart, it's kind of like that thing that you want to do. You can fill in the blank. I really enjoy blank. And if you've given your heart, you will enjoy the work in the vineyard. And you will rejoice, despite the fact that it will be frustrating at times, it will be difficult at times, at times you may seem to fail. But saying, rejoice, thy servant. And really, if we looked in this context, in the days of Jesus, rejoice thy slave. They were not free to do as they pleased. And yet, that's the attitude that's required. One who bears a yoke is a servant or a slave. So what this is saying is that at the time you heard the call, at the time you accepted the call, at the time you began the work, you are now a voluntary servant or slave. You are in servitude. And by the way, you're happy about it. Aren't you happy about it? I am. I am just overwhelmed at opportunities to support the brethren and help in the truth. And sometimes it's difficult and frustrating, but I rejoice. And that's the attitude we have to have. What's the significance of the yoke? Well, if we went back 100 plus years now, this is horsepower. And you'll notice the horses are what? They're yoked together. Today, this is horsepower. You don't see the horses. You don't see the yoke. So in a way, we've kind of gotten a little bit away from this picture because it's not common in our day and time in this place. But if we go to other countries and other situations, there you would see the yoke. And so you would very clearly understand this concept. It's a power-sharing arrangement. It's how things got done. If you wanted to plow your field, you didn't get on your computer and it happened. You had to get out there and you had to till the soil. And if you were lucky, you had an animal which you could yoke to pull your plow. And if you weren't, you had a hand plow and you did that work yourself. So yoke really is a showing power, physical power. And what yokes bring, they don't just do vain works. They bring fruitage. And in the illustration, they're either pulling something heavier or they were turning the fields, they were farming and producing. And so it requires fruitage, which is another important aspect of these thoughts. Now this is yoke power. These are two yoke of oxen, and they're pulling a big concrete sled. This is actually a competition. Showing you the power of yoking together. Neither one of these oxen, as powerful as they are, could pull half of this weight. But together they can pull the whole weight. In 2 Corinthians 12:9 we read, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." This is another aspect of yokes. It's a power-sharing arrangement. You know, we can look at this in marriage. If we look at marriage in general, the man is probably more powerful than the woman. But there are other aspects, emotionally and other things, where the woman is more powerful than the man. So it's a power-sharing arrangement. But together, pulling together, they are superior in their ability to perform. And it was the same way with these beasts of burden. In Philippians 4:13 we read, "I can do all things." How many of you can do all things? All of you can. Well, that's what the scripture says. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And so it's saying sometimes I cannot do it individually by myself, but when you look at what the church's purpose is, they will accomplish all things. Think about the condition the world's in today. Sin sick and dying, scared. How will that be accomplished? All things will be accomplished, not by some great politician or great power or great army, but by the Lord. The kingdom is the solution to all the world's problems. And what this is saying is you are now yoked as part of this, and by this act, you can do all things. Now, you can ask him on the job, I can't do all things on the job, but that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about accomplishing God's plans and purposes, and it only can be done through yoking ourselves with one another. So it's a power-sharing arrangement, and it's required, period. There are no solo performances here. It requires what? The brethren working together.